Listener-supported KFUO invites you to listen live to our annual Share-a-thon. It's your opportunity to show your support to KFUO. If you can't join us live, please prayerfully consider supporting us by calling 314-996-1518 and asking about our giving levels. You can also click the Give Now button on our webpage. Share-a-thon 2017, April 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
Welcome back to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. It's time for a little worldview watch, trying to work up that discernment meter, get it functioning well so you can look out the world and apply your faith, not just think about it, but think with it. My guest today, Pastor Brian Wolfmuller of Faith Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, talking about something he's done some work on in the past. I know I've heard him present on it in the past, and I want to hear more. The chronology of Holy Week and how knowing the order of the events leading up to our Lord's Passion can help us walk through this week and remember what he did. Greetings, Pastor Wolfmuller, and why don't you just go ahead and start telling us a little bit about that.
Well, here's the main thing with Holy Week, to get it in our heads, and that is that Jesus is staying in Bethany, probably at the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, which is, a mile or so on the other side of the Mount of Olives from Jerusalem. And so Jesus is going to be going back and forth between Bethany and Jerusalem, all during Holy Week. Now, we know this is important because probably about a third of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, have to do with the last 7 days of Jesus' life. And it's even more than that in John. I mean, if you start on Palm Sunday and get to the resurrection, that's about 5 days. It's a week, 7 days. You're looking at almost half of the Gospel of John. So that this last week of Jesus' life is particularly important, and we can kind of see what's going on in all these different days. We can track it every day except for Holy Wednesday. We can see what Jesus was doing, where and how and why.
So I guess one of the first questions might be, you know, how do you do that? Because not all the Gospels really tell you, hey, he did this on this day in this year. He did this then. It's not that clear.
Yeah, most of them have it in order. Although what's really interesting is that the anointing of Jesus' feet is put by Mark and Matthew right before the Passion, almost like you would say that maybe it would happen on Holy Thursday. But John gives us the order that that happened before his triumphal entry. The other major key, which is kind of funny, to being able to get the timeline right is the cursing of the fig tree. You remember Jesus is going into Jerusalem and he goes to a fig tree and looks for figs and there's none, so he curses it. And then the next day they're walking by and they see that the tree is withered. And so that cursing of the fig tree gives us Jesus and the disciples walking from Bethany to Jerusalem one day after another. So here's the basic outline. On the evening before Palm Sunday, so that would be the Saturday before Palm Sunday, Jesus' feet are anointed in the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in Bethany. The next day, Palm Sunday, Jesus triumphantly proceeds into Jerusalem, and he goes into the temple and he looks around, and then he goes back to Bethany. Holy Monday, he goes back in, and that's the second time that he cleanses the temple and kind of stirs up the crowds, but then he disappears and goes back to Bethany. Holy Tuesday, Jesus is back in the temple, and this is his last public teaching. It's when he sees the widow giving her last mite and he rebukes the Pharisees for not taking care of the poor. He has the three great questions from those who would trick him about paying taxes, about the woman who has five widowers and whose wife will she be in the resurrection, this debate with the Sadducees and Pharisees, and then the question of the greatest commandment. And then Jesus turns them, and this is maybe the most interesting conversation that they have. Jesus turns the tables and asks them about Psalm 110. Whose son is the Messiah? David's son, they say. And he says, well, then why did David say, the Lord said to my Lord, sit here at my right hand? How can the Messiah be both David's son and David's Lord from Psalm 110? It's great. And they couldn't answer him anymore. And that's the last public teaching of Jesus. Then when they were leaving the temple, this is still on Holy Tuesday, the disciples say, look at all these huge stones. And Jesus says, I tell you, not one will be left upon another. So they get to the top of the Mount of Olives and they stop on their way back to Bethany. And then looking back over the city, they say, well, when are these things going to be? When's the temple going to be destroyed? And Jesus tells them both about the destruction of the temple and the second coming. So that's kind of the order of the events on the first 3 days of Holy Week.
So my question in that is, how do you know, because I didn't know this, and I'm kind of disturbed or disappointed to know that I didn't know this. How do you know that the temple cleansing happened on Monday and not when he finishes his triumphal entry on Sunday?
Well, Well, I don't know the specific answer to the question, but I know why I don't know the answer to that. The reason why we know that the cleansing of the temple was on Monday and not on Sunday is that while two of the gospel readings put them just right next to each other, one of them indicates that when Jesus came for the triumphal entry, he looked around and then he returned, and then it's the next day that he came and cleansed the temple. So we have a little time mention in one of the gospels, and that helps us kind of stretch out the Holy Week chronology. Instead of being all the events being Sunday and Monday, or maybe even just Sunday, we're able to stretch them out Sunday to Monday for the triumphal entry to the cleansing, and then Monday to Tuesday for the two different discussions in the temple because of the withered fig tree.
So speak to maybe the conscience here a little bit. What about the person who like their whole life has imagined the story taking place all on Sunday or Monday? Does that harm their faith in some way?
No. All these questions of history are really great, and the more we study the scripture, the more we're able to see the details of it. But the way you come to these things is by comparing, kind of overlaying the gospels with one another. That's why it's an important task to do, but the Holy Spirit has decided to not give us all of these details in one place, and so we're pleased to have them as we have them. So we read the gospel of Matthew, and that Jesus connects the triumphal entry with the cleansing of the temple. That's God, God be praised. We want to see that connection. But as we study the details of the scripture and we get the history a little more cleanly, that also is, it's helpful for us to be able to rejoice in it. But it's not to think that the cleansing of the temple was on Monday rather than Sunday. Or vice versa. That is not a faith assaulting a mistake.
And not something we would call an article of faith. And this is where the fine line is between taking the four Gospels and trying to piece together what we as Westerners would call the history, or the, really kind of the scientific way of thinking about it, and then letting Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell you what they tell you in the order they tell you, because they want you to have something more than just the order of events. They want you to get an idea out of it. And so, for example, they want you to get the idea that the triumphal entry was to purify the temple. The king came back, he's going to go in, he's going to clean everything up. Even though it happened maybe on the next day and there were some moments in between, Matthew wants you to get that point. So you don't want to pit the Gospels against each other, but at the same time, like you said, I think the real value in this myself is, like, so during your Holy Week, if you're going to have some sort of piety in which you're remembering the week, how better than to kind of meditate on these various places or pieces that Jesus did on those days, on the days they happened?
Yep, I put together a little Passion History. I don't know how to find this unless someone does a Google for something like Passion History Wolfmuller, and it'll come up on the internet. And it has the references to each of the different Gospels and the places where they happened. And so you can kind of track it down. Now, there is a mistake on there, which I have since, I don't know actually how to go and clean it up, because I say on Wednesday no events are recorded, but it is most likely that it's on Holy Wednesday that Judas travels from Bethany to Jerusalem by himself to contract the betrayal of Jesus. And it's an amazing sort of thing that we don't know anything else that happened on that day, but that's probably when Judas did that, because then when you get to Holy Thursday, they're from Bethany into Jerusalem, and they celebrate the Passover. And then from inside the city, they go down across the Kidron Valley to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus would often go with his disciples. And he was praying there three times into the night that the cup could pass from him. But God's will was done, and it didn't. So his arrest is there in the garden. And then we have on that Thursday night, which I guess in the Jewish reckoning would be Friday, all the way through the night and then all the way through the morning, the five trials of Jesus. Now, this is a nice thing to have also, because if you just read one of the Gospels and you didn't have all four of the Gospels, you couldn't get to five trials. None of them have all of them. But putting them all together, we see that Jesus, in fact, has his first trial by Caiaphas, the father-in-law of the high priest, which is a kind of a by himself. It's a little trial. And then he has the with Annas and the whole Sanhedrin, and then his first appearance before Pilate, then to Herod, and then back to Pilate. So two Jewish trials, three Roman trials that start really sundown on Monday, Thursday, and end with the Jesus being condemned and being brought to crucifixion by 9 a.m. on Good Friday.
Yeah, condemned at sunrise on Friday morning, according to John's gospel, if you're using, as I think you need to, the Roman military-style timekeeping that John uses, so that it explains why the trial took all night long, too. So at sunrise, they're sitting there saying, we have no king but Caesar. It's because he's had to be moved around a whole lot. And so you get at least 1 hour for each of these trials, plus some travel time. And now you got, and I love this, John does this, now you got the priests themselves haven't eaten the Passover meal, and they're outside the covenant, while they say, my king's Caesar, I'm good. And they,
that's right.
The irony of all that.
And they won't go into Pilate's house lest they would defile themselves.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, the ironies are thick. The same way they won't receive back the blood money that they themselves paid. I mean, it's just really bad.
So really, then, the chronology is not entirely done, even as he's down on the cross, because there's things that happen there. And in particular, something you might experience tonight at a tenebrae service, a darkness service at your church, the seven last words of Christ.
Yeah, that's right. So Jesus is on the cross for 6 hours, noon to three, nine to three. Yep. And we say from noon to three is when the darkness covered the earth. And there's seven last words. It seems like they're in kind of two bunches. You have three at the beginning and three at the end, and one kind of standing both theologically and chronologically at the middle. So at the beginning, Jesus says, Father, forgive them, his first words from the cross. Son, behold your mother, where he gives Mary to John and John to Mary. And then to the thief who was converted, you'll be with me in paradise. And then standing right in the middle is the cry of dereliction. In fact, according to Matthew and Mark, they only give us this word of Jesus. They don't give us any of the others. My God, why have you forsaken me? Showing that Jesus is bearing the sins of the world and suffering in our place. And then at the very end, I thirst, it's finished, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then Jesus bows his head and gives up the ghost. He dies. He gives away his spirit. And so this happens during the 6 hours of the crucifixion. And then after that, Jesus is hastily taken off. He's buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And the tomb is closed and the next day sealed. So because the Jews were worried that his body would be stolen as a fake resurrection.
And again, by the time the darkness goes away and or comes back, whatever, when evening comes, they're in haste to get this body down because they want to prepare for the Sabbath. And they can't do that once the Sabbath has taken place according to the Jewish laws. My guest, Pastor Brian Wolfmuller of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, also the author of a recent book from Concordia Publishing House, Has American Christianity Failed? Talking about the chronology of Holy Week. And Pastor Wolfmuller, would you also maybe talk about real quick your Wednesday Whatnot email blasts?
Yeah, if people want to sign up for this, they can go to the website, wolfmuller.co. And every Wednesday, I put out four things I've been thinking about, curious about, theological things, some curious, humor sort of stuff, and YouTube videos. If people are interested, they can sign up there, wolfmuller.co. Glad to have people on the team.
But little pieces like this chronology, not that this is actually coming out this week, but this is the kind of thing that you'll find on that Wednesday Whatnot, whether it's been put together by Pastor Wolfmuller or himself. I've found it valuable. I'd say about one out of every eight things that you send, I end up saving somewhere or using it in some way. And that's pretty good. That's batting high,
hey,
I think.
Hey, that's good odds for
Yeah,
me.
I think that's batting pretty high for anybody. So anyway, thanks for being with us today, Pastor Wolfmuller.
You got it.
Holy Week is a time to remember, a time to sit, think, ponder, wonder, marvel at all that he bore for us this whole week. I mean, can you imagine what it must have been like for him coming to and from the temple? He knew what was going on. He saw it coming the whole time. And why? Why would he step through it? He could have left, but he didn't. Why? For you. Because our Lord Jesus Christ wanted you. And so he endured this most marvelous Holy Week, this trial of many kinds, so that he could pay the price to have you return to him, so that having conquered death on your behalf, he might now intercede for you on your behalf before the Father and come again on your behalf to take you and me and the rest of us home. And hey, you know what? Maybe if we're lucky, it'll happen before Good Friday. Could happen today. Could happen tomorrow. But either case, you're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and I look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.